Welcome back, everybody, to the XCast X-Files Podwatch. This is episode 43 of our series, and today we're taking a look at El Mundo Guerra and Leonard Betts. I'm your host, Carl Sweeney, and with me today is Sarah Blair. Hi there, Sarah.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, but how are you? You're suffering a bit from hay fever, I understand.
Just a little bit. If I sound a little bit stuffy.
That's the reason, okay. Yeah, we'll dive straight in then. These episodes, both of them, were broadcast in January 1997, and the first one is El Mundo Guerra, which is episode 11 of season 4. It was written by John Scheiben and directed by Tucker Gates, and in this episode, the agents investigate the death of a migrant farm worker in California, believed by some to have been caused by a mythical beast called El Chupacabra, which is the Mexican goat sucker, of course. Sarah, over to you. What do you think about El Mundo Guerra?
I don't really think about it at all much, to be honest.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those episodes that I could take or leave. If I'm doing a rewatch, I might watch it and I might not. It's kind of one of those middle of the road episodes that's not bad but not good and just really mediocre.
Yeah, I agree, basically. I'm even possibly more negative about it than you.
Yeah.
If I was rating all the episodes, this would be quite near the bottom.
Yeah.
Why do we think that is, then? Because, I mean, the main thing for me is that it's just so, like, laboriously paced, it seems like, to me. And as a result, it's, like, really unengaging. I mean, when I watch the episode, it seems to kind of drag quite a bit.
Yeah, it does. Because I think they repeat the same themes over and over. Like, but he loves her so much. It's very Telemundo. I thought it was a little bit heavy-handed with the love of the brother, and he has to avenge his true love, and it's just also very dramatic that it doesn't appeal to me, really. It feels a little bit like a caricature.
Yeah, like melodramatic, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, you touched on a couple of points there I was going to kind of bring up to you. So, like, it's got, like, this social criticism aspect of it, you know, nobody cares about these people. But I don't know, I just don't think it's done that effectively, because it's kind of, like you sort of said, it's kind of repeated again and again and again. And any viewer will know exactly what they're trying to point out. It's not done with any subtlety, is it? I don't think.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And, like, especially to just kind of jump to the end to prove that point, you've got these weird-looking dudes who are walking along the road trying to hitchhike. And if I saw that on the side of the road, I would notice. I would notice these people and call the police and say, there is something weird on the road, just to, like, be obtuse about it. And then, so that didn't make a lot of sense to me at all, because you've got the voiceover and they're talking about how these people aren't noticed and these people are just driving by. I'd be like, what in the world is that? No. That's really doesn't make a lot of sense at all. But then, you know, you've got, like, the cop, the local cop. He was just, like, it was like he didn't care at all. And then Mulder and Scully are like, but hey, we gotta, like, investigate this murder. And he's like, yeah, it doesn't, you know, it didn't ring true a lot of the times, and some of the stuff that they said wasn't really backed up with any showing at all.
Yeah, and I don't know, it just kind of feels quite, like, dramatically inert to me. It never comes to life or something, I don't know. Now, you mentioned Telemundo. Now, I think, I know that that's like a Mexican soap opera, is it, or what?
It's a network.
Right,
so,
okay.
Yeah, but they air the soap operas on there and lots of other dramatic shows and everything, and so, yeah.
Because that's what this episode's trying to do, isn't it? You've got these soap opera aspects.
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm kind of familiar with the concept. I've never really watched what they're kind of trying to do. So, how well did they do that? I mean, I think the answer is not very. What do you think?
I didn't think they did very well at all with it. And, I mean, I thought it was a little bit insulting, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think they could have done a lot better if they tried to play it really straight. But then I guess in a way they kind of did, which made it not work at all. Because you had Mulder and Scully coming in to this migrant worker camp, which was very horrible, because I know there are places like that and worse, much worse than that. It's horrible. you got these people living in these terrible, terrible conditions. And it's true that nobody cares about these people. And I appreciate that they tried to, like, get that message across. But at the same time, they weren't really successful at it because it was so, like you said, it's just knocking you over the head with it.
Yeah, do you feel like it kind of cuts across what they're trying to do? It kind of undermines it a bit, that like the characters they create are then so kind of one-dimensional, really, and stereotypical. Right. So, like, it's kind of the best intentions, but very, like, uneven execution, like.
Right, yeah, it's like they were trying to, like, get you to think about these important issues, but at the same time, all they did was create these stereotypical representations. It was just like, what are you even doing with this?
Yeah,
I think El Chupacabra is kind of, it's like a really cool, well-known myth, so I think they could have done a lot more with it than
what they did.
Yeah
I think probably the best thing about this episode is that it then inspires a reference in Bad Blood, doesn't it? Because Scully talks about the Mexican goat sucker in that episode.
Yes. That Mexican goat sucker thing.
Well, I mean, one thing that's good here is that there's the actor, I think his name's Raymond Cruz. He plays the character here of Eladio. Breaking Bad fans will know him as Tuco. And it's kind of neat just to see him.
He's a great actor. Yeah.
And he's incredibly menacing in Breaking Bad when he turns up there. What about from the perspective of, I mean, you mentioned the weird looking dudes. Like, did you think this was, like, what did you think of, like, the visual effects they came up with and all that kind of thing?
I mean, I thought the makeup was great for, you know, what it was. Especially with the viruses and how they had to, you know, do all the different victims that they had touched. I thought it was really effective and creepy, for sure. I mean, as far as X-Files go, it was a great X-File. The rest of it was just not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the location and the rest of the execution didn't come quite off. But as far as, you know, like at the very beginning in the teaser with her face and all of that, the makeup was really, really great and very horrific in a good way. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, definitely. So some good elements.
Yeah, and the music always, like, Mark Snow is just a genius. He always creates such a vivid mood and everything that he kind of, I think he saves a lot of the really mundane episodes with his music, so.
Yeah, so what about our dynamic duo, Mulder and Scully? I mean, they kind of seem quite pensive to me in this episode. There aren't that many lively moments between them that I can recall. I mean, there's one joke about Purple Rain, which is quite good.
Yeah.
Can you remember, is there any more, like, repartee between the two that comes to mind?
Honestly, not that stands out. This is one of those episodes that you kind of watch and immediately forget. I watched it a couple of days ago, and now I'm just struggling to, you know. But at the same time, it's when, like, there's a lot of times when I'm thinking about the show or whatever, and I remember, like, the virus or the fuzz on the people, and I'm just like, that was really gross. So every now and then it comes up in my mind, so I guess I do remember it a little bit, but yeah.
But it sounds like it's just kind of like the odd memorable image rather than, like, the story or, you know, So yeah. I agree with it. I guess we, you know, covered it there. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about this one?
I mean, there are great moments like that when Eladio was talking about his girlfriend or, like, what happened to her. I mean, that was pretty intense, and I thought there was some great acting there because, you know, he, at a time when you actually would be upset about somebody dying, that was appropriate drama. But I think the reactions of Mulder and the cop made it seem a little bit too, like, his performance was so great, but then you get their reactions and they're just kind of like, this guy's a weirdo. So then you think, like, oh, well, maybe, you know, but yeah, so it didn't quite match up. Is it possible to act too well? He just did such a good job and it didn't really mesh with the rest of the episode.
Leonard Betts, then, is episode 12 of season 4, and this one was written by Vince Gilligan, John Scheiben, and Frank Spotnitz, directed by Kim Manners. And in this episode, Mulder and Scully investigate the disappearance of a headless body from a morgue. Okay, Sarah, so, I mean, I would imagine this one's a bit more to your liking. Am I right?
Yes. Yeah.
So what do you think about this one in general?
I always love a good, like, medical drama, so that really appealed to me, having him be the medical technician and all of that, plus all of, like, when Scully gets down there into the medical waste bin compartment, and she's like, Mulder, I'm gonna need your help, your arms are longer, and he's just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I always love when Scully does autopsies or anything like that. And so it just had a lot of my favorite elements in it, and just good solid creepiness with the bodiless, like, head and the body walking around, and, you know, all of that kind of stuff was really creepy and solid good X-Files stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I've always enjoyed this one. Let's go through some of the individual elements then. So, like, you got this character, Leonard Betts, played by Paul McCrane, and a lot of people will know him as Romano from ER.
Yes.
Which I only ever watched, like, from time to time, but I remember he came to some kind of bad end with a helicopter or something. Did he die, or did he just lose his arm?
Got his arm chopped with the helicopter. Right, yeah. Yeah, and he was kind of a dick on that show, so... the whole time, because I was a big X-Files fan, so I'd already seen Leonard Betts when he came on ER, and I loved ER too, obviously, because I love medical dramas. So anyways, but yeah, I was already freaked out by him, because I only thought of him as Leonard Betts, because that was the first time I'd ever seen him on TV in a role or anywhere. So I was like, that's Leonard Betts, what's he doing at ER? And especially since he played the medical tech on the X-Files too, so that just really kind of wigged me out a little bit. And then he was not a very super nice character on ER. Then he got his arm chopped, and it was just like, what? That was so random and freaky and gross. But yeah. he was trying to get somebody out of a medical helicopter, and he leaned over the wrong way and leaned into the rear rotor or something like that, and it got him.
I'm gonna have to take to YouTube afterwards and check that out. It's been years since I saw that.
Oh, it was memorable. Yeah. I'll never forget that.
so what did you think of Leonard then? I mean, he's in the kind of Tombs mold a little bit, isn't he? Like, Tombs needed livers for sustenance, he needs tumors and so on. But so he wasn't like the most groundbreaking of antagonists, but I like the performance and I like the character as a whole. What about you?
I did. I felt like you said, like, Tombs was a little bit of a strong silent type, and I think Leonard was too. I mean, mostly because he, like, didn't have a head through the show. So I thought the regeneration thing was a little bit weird, because, like, did he need to be in the iodine? Did he, like, it was never truly clear to me. Maybe it was to you, but I don't know, like, how did he actually regenerate stuff? Because, like, did his body just get up and walk away without a head? Like, how did it know where to go? Like, how did he get the clothes off and get in the bathtub with no head? Like, how does he even know where to see? Like, none of that made sense to me. And, like, how did he even get there? Because people are going to notice a bodiless, like, a head, no head person walking around. Like, that's going to be a thing. Like, how did he get from the hospital to his house without a head? That was not clear to me. Like, I liked the effect of him walking away, and you couldn't really see and totally see in the reflection of the metal. But yeah, that really was, like, not clear to me at all.
No, I guess you're right. I guess there are some logic issues there. Definitely got the sense that the iodine bath was helped his body regenerate in some way, but yeah, how does he see without a head? I don't know. There's some really good, like, banter, isn't there, I think, between Mulder and Scully in this one. Like we say in El Mundo Gira, there isn't much to kind of remember. You know, when I think back to, like, the way Mulder and Scully were at their best with each other, you know, like the back and forth, this episode comes pretty close to that, I think. I think there's some good moments here.
Yeah, that whole sequence with Scully and she, you know, she looked at the head and it opened its eyes and its mouth and she freaked the freak out. Like, that was so perfect because, you know, Scully, she doesn't get like really super scared a lot, but you can, like, Gillian Anderson really played that well because I was just like, I was half laughing, half totally freaked out myself because I was just like, oh my gosh, that head blinked at her.
Yeah. It was
such a great moment. And then, like you said, with the conversation afterward, and Scully's like, I know what, like, she's trying to convince herself while she's telling Mulder. She's like, I know this is a physiological effect of death. Sometimes this happens. Like, this is a thing that happens. And he's like, you don't want to touch it, do you?
Yeah, I thought that was brilliant. Yeah,
and I would not want to touch it either. I would be like, get that thing away from me and look at me. Yeah. So yeah, that's totally freaky. Yeah, that's a really good moment. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, there's some good stuff. There's some good humor in the episode. Even though on the face of it, it's not the most like lighthearted of cases.
But right. Yeah.
I think it works. I think it works really well. I guess the main reason why this is an important episode for the series is that there's like that powerful moment at the climax where Betts says to Scully, you know, you have something I need.
Yeah.
And actually, just before we get onto that, I love like the way Scully fights him in the ambulance. That's brilliant, I think.
Yeah.
But obviously, we realise that Scully's got cancer. It sets up something that's going to be very important to the rest of season four going forward. And it does it in quite an interesting way, you know, kind of what you think is going to be just a monster of the week.
Did not see that coming, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it, I thought.
Yeah, and I remember watching it, you know, when it aired, and I was just like, wait, what? What? No, Scully does not have cancer. Like, I was so in denial and just, like, did not want to believe that at all. And I, like, I was so scared the next couple of weeks because that was, yeah, not fun. Because I love Scully, I still do. But, you know, yeah. And it's so weird now because, like, I'm her age that she was. And I'm like, how would I even react to that if, you know, like, it's just crazy. Yeah.
But that leads us on to, like, the issue of, like, where this episode is placed. Because this was actually, like, the post-Super Bowl episode.
Mm-hmm.
So it got a huge audience. People that hadn't necessarily seen the series before as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite a good choice for that slot because, like we said, it's got... You know, it's a good showcase, I suppose. Like, scary stuff, some action, there's an explosion, isn't there? But it's very moody as well and quite humorous. So, you know, it may not be the best episode. I mean, Never Again was the original choice for the Super Bowl episode, but they changed their minds. And I think Never Again's better, but I think this was a better Super Bowl choice.
Yeah, I agree, because I don't think Never Again really... It doesn't really capture the creepy X-Files-ness of the show, and this one does. So I think they made a good choice as far as like what to show people who may have never seen the show before, because I think Never Again is more Scully centric, and if you don't know her character, you can't really appreciate it.
And also, if you don't know much about how Mulder and Scully are with each other,
right,
you maybe wouldn't get the most out of that one. Yeah. Although it does create a problem where that, like, Never Again wasn't intended to be really part of the cancer storyline. And, like, yeah. Gillian Anderson wasn't playing it as somebody who just found out she had cancer.
Yeah.
And that's not how, like, Morgan and Wong, like, wrote it. But then you move it afterwards, and everybody then interprets it in the light of the end of Leonard Betts. So there is an issue there, I think. Yeah. And to be honest, when I rewatch the season four, I normally go to Never Again first, then to Leonard Betts afterwards.
I see. I've never done that before, and I really want to, because I feel like it would be an interesting arc.
Yeah. Is there anything else about this one, Sarah, that struck you at all?
I really liked his partner, the ambulance driver. She was pretty cool. She didn't have a big role, but she was effective in presenting the information to Mulder and all of that. So I kind of wondered if she had a crush on Leonard.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. They did a good job of, like, quickly kind of... getting across the kind of relationship they had as colleagues. Yeah, and the actress was good as well. I thought so too.
Yeah.
So, in summary, good episode. Almost like, you know, kind of like a template X-Files episode, but it's kind of elevated a bit by the cancer stuff, which makes it very significant, I think.
Absolutely. Sounds like a great sum up of the episode for sure.
Good stuff. So tomorrow on the podcast, it's going to be emotional. It's Never Again and Memento Mori. On Twitter, we're at @X_cast, and you can find us there. And on Facebook, you can look for us too. If you type in XCast, you'll find our page and our group, which is called X-Files Basement, the XCast podcast fan group. That's it from us for now. But until next time, listeners, trust no one.